do everything without complaining and arguing. Man, is that a hard command to think about? Does not complaining come so easily? Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Today I want to talk about shining like stars. It is patently obvious that we live in darkening days. The violence of this school shooting a little over 2 weeks ago is just one more example of the hatred and violence that permeates our society. The president, and you can agree with him or disagree with him, made a statement that he was grateful that one of the members of Congress who was shot by another one of these shooters at a baseball game had returned to service and was back in the Congress, and half the Congress wouldn't stand up and cheer about that. How filled with hate do you have to be that you would be sad that someone recovered from one of these? And it's not just, it's every time we turn around, it seems the situation gets darker. We put armed guards in the school, and when a shooter comes, they hide outside and allow the students to be murdered. Law enforcement, they say, see something, say something. People send in comment after comment to the police, to the FBI, and they do nothing. But here's the thing, and this is the truth that so many people aren't talking about. Some of us here are older than others. We remember days when there were no school shootings whatsoever. It was unthought of. If you'd have told my father when I started school as a kindergartner in 1964 that you would have to have metal detectors in schools, he would have slapped you silly. It's not because there were less guns then. It's because there was less darkness in the human heart. The light of the gospel is the only thing that can change us. And today we are given this message that we are to be like stars. And here's the good news. As the society gets darker, the stars should be shining brighter. Stars are always in the sky. The stars are up there right now. We just can't see them because there's too much light. But as our society becomes darker, we have the opportunity to shine the more bright. When Paul wrote these words, he was not living in utopia. He was not living in Shangri-La. He was not living in a nation that was filled with light, but one that was dark and growing darker every day. The darkness he faced as he wrote this letter would have him in prison as he was when he wrote it, and eventually would have him killed. And yet, the testimony of history is the church triumphed, not Rome. There weren't enough swords in Rome to stop the gospel. There were not enough soldiers. There were not enough crosses. Darkness can never defeat light. Look at what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, there are two functions that we have. And here's what Jesus says of the second one. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that cannot be hidden. We don't live in that kind of land, but in ancient Israel, and it's still there today, very, very, especially in the north, very, very mountainous. Especially in the east of the land, all up and down. And they built fortified cities for protection. And you don't build a fortified city down in the valley because then everybody can lob stones over the walls. You build it up on top of a hill. And it's amazing being down in the Sea of Galilee, being out on a boat in the Sea of Galilee. And it looks like there's mountains all around you. There are, in fact, not mountains, they are sea level. But you are at that point 600 feet below sea level. And as you look up, you can see this ring, like the ring of a crater. And dotted around that ring are cities perched right on the edge. And you can't hide them. Doesn't matter whether it's raining, you can still see them. Doesn't matter whether it's cloudy, you can still see them. Doesn't matter if the sun's shining, you can still see them. And Jesus said, we are to be a city on a hill. Now, here he is talking about virtue. We don't teach our children about virtue. I went out to dinner last night. There was a long line to get into the restaurant that I went to. I had to wait, I don't know, over half an hour for a seat. And as I was sitting there, a couple with a young man sat down and they said, oh, there's a seat here. Actually, they sat down first and they said, oh, there's a seat here. And I went over and sat down. I'd been standing for most of the half hour. And I said, I really always feel terrible taking a seat when there are women that might come in to use it. And she said, well, that's because you were raised right. Then she turned to the son that was, I don't know, I'm bad with ages, but maybe 10, 11, 12. She said, we're trying to raise him that way. I said, yeah, it's getting harder. And she goes, yeah, I just went to work for the school. And boy, when you see the kids today, we're not teaching our children virtue. And Jesus said, we're the ones to do that. As I was walking into the restaurant, a family walked up. The husband walked through the door. Now, maybe he had a legitimate reason. Maybe he was going in to put their name down to get two sons, sub-teenagers, young teenagers, something like that. Walked right through the door and left the mom to hold the door for them. I said, gentlemen, are you serious? You can't hold the door for your mother? People looked at me like I was a unicorn. But there was a woman coming out, and she had a young son, and he said, oh, and jumped right in front of the door and held it for her. And oh, you should have seen the smile on that mom's face. Amen. You say that's such a little thing. It is. But it shows a spirit. He says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. If there's light in our society and people say, oh, there's lots of good people out there, maybe there are, but it's time that we started getting out from under the bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Here's what Paul says. Look with me over at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be there a little while, so you might want to, if you have one of those little things in your Bible, you might want to put it there, because we'll be back several times. We'll be some other places, but we'll be back here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 4, 9. Paul's been writing, we'll start at verse 8. He says, "We are hard-pressed on every side." Ever feel that way? I talk to people and they go, Paul says, that's us. So when that happens to you, when family lets you down, when people attack you, when situations push on you, we've had all of that. He says, we are pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed. When I first became a pastor, almost coming up on 40 years ago, over 35 years, people would come with problems, and you could sit down and you could look at the person's problems and go, you know, if you just turn your life around and change a few little things about your life, get rid of those things by the power of God, your life is going to change in a real hurry. The people that come to me today, they have dug holes that are so deep that I scratch my head and I don't know how to even tell them what could help. People today are perplexed, but not in despair. Sad thing is, so many people, if you do not have Christ and you're perplexed, the next step is almost always despair. But if you truly have Christ, you can be perplexed and never slide into despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. That is. I'm sorry. I want 1 Corinthians 4:9. It is. And we're going to be back there. We'll be back to 2 Corinthians. So don't take your fingers out of there. 1 Corinthians 4:9. We're going to be back there. Here's what Paul says. He says, "For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession like men condemned to die in the arena." He's saying, when the Caesars would march in, or high officials would march into a city or ride in on their chariot, behind them and before them would be the conquering army. And behind them would come the slaves they had taken, the enemy soldiers captured, the people who had been enslaved, and they would drag them behind them in chains. Many of them would be taken to the arena and butchered just for the fun of the crowd. He says, it seems like we apostles are those prisoners being dragged behind. We think that we are the people who, if we just are important, people will see God in us. If we're triumphant, like the Eagles a month ago, people will believe in Jesus. But Paul says we're like the tail end of the procession. He says God has put us on display there But you know what? People are watching. I'll never forget, or I hope I never forget, I'm at that age where you can't make that claim anymore. I never forget Matt Strange. Matt Strange was my nemesis in high school. You ever had a nemesis? He made it his business to torture me. I mean, he pulled pranks and tricks and made me look bad from one end of the school to the other. And then I got saved. And then he really piled on. I'll never forget, I'd been out of school a couple of years. I was in college, and I'm walking down the street because I commuted to college, stayed at home. And here comes Matt Strange. And it was just one of those days that I couldn't bear to deal with it one more time. And I'm, trying to look away, and out of the corner of my eye, I see him see me and come straight at me. I'm going, oh. He walks up to me and says, "Praise God, I'm a believer now." And I wasn't very excited about that because that's the kind of thing he'd do, and then he'd make some wise mouth comment. So I'm waiting for the shoe to drop, and he looks at me and goes, "I know you probably don't believe me, but I'm really being honest. Here's the name of my pastor. I go to Canoe Camp Bible Church. Here's his name, his phone number. Call him, ask him." He said, "That whole time at school that I was torturing you, I was looking for an excuse to reject your gospel." Paul says we've been put on display. People are watching. It is a true statement that we are the only Bible that many people will ever read. And if they don't see light in us, they'll never see light at all. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Here's what Paul says. He says, "We have treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." I don't want to be a jar of clay. And I have a sneaking suspicion that you don't want to be a jar of clay. I would much rather be a crystal decanter. You know, those cut crystals that shine so bright and you can see what's inside through it? Sort of like a ship in a bottle. Bible says we're not crystal decanters. We're jars of clay, and the treasure's inside. And if we are jars of clay, listen to me, if we are jars of clay, then the only way to see the treasure, we must be, picture it, there's a jar of clay, there's a treasure inside. What's the only way that anyone can ever see what's inside? Got to be broken. I don't want to be broken. You don't want to be broken. If we're jars of clay and the treasure's inside, the only way that it will ever be seen is we have to allow our cracks to show. Because you see, when we're not broken and people look at us, no matter what they see, they think it's us. So when some football hero stands up there and says, "Praise God, we won," they see the football hero. It is often what really shows Christ is not standing there, but it's the defeated team walking over with a smile on their face and congratulating the other team. Boy, that was a great game. Oh, it was so hard to lose like that. But you know what? Congratulations. You did really well. It is in our brokenness that the treasure is seen. What's the treasure? What's the treasure? What's the treasure that the world out there that's living in darkness, the world that would create not one, not two, but person after person who would take a gun and walk into a school and just start shooting up people? What is the treasure that they need to see to bring light to such darkened souls? First of all, it's the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. Paul says this. Ephesians 1:13. But you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Who is the deposit, the treasure, guaranteeing our inheritance till the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory? People do not think that they can live any different life than they're living now. There's a woman I know at school, we are acquaintances. She's not at all a believer and certainly comes from a much different mindset than I do in almost every regard. We were having a conversation a couple weeks ago, and I know I mentioned this, but it's just so striking. And I said to her, I said, do you understand that these kids that we're teaching, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds that we're teaching, they will look back and these will be the good old days of their life? They'll be the days by which they'll measure the days they live in. She's about my age, a little younger. She remembers different days. And she looked at me and she said, that's the scariest thought I've had in months. They know it's dark out there. They know there's something wrong. And it's not the economy. Doesn't matter how much the economy booms. Money will not buy us light within our soul. You don't believe that? See how many billionaires are sitting in prison for fraud and all these other things. And if there's that many that actually got caught, there's a whole bunch more that didn't. Money doesn't bring light. You see, comes down to this. Turn back to Galatians right before Ephesians there. Galatians 5, we know these verses, but just we need to be reminded in these days. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. We understand how little love there is today. It blew me away last summer. Here are these pampered kids on college campuses who are living on someone else's dime. They don't do a bit of work. They party all the time. They get involved in all kinds of illicit and immoral and every other kind of behavior. And they're so angry that someone comes to speak and they'll burn the campus down. Where's the love? Joy. Look for joyful faces this week. Look for joyful faces and see how many you see. People don't have any joy. Why? Because of politics? No, because joy is the fruit of the Spirit. And if you don't have the Spirit, you cannot have joy. You can be entertained and have some little bit of excitement. Oh, it's vacation. But as soon as you come home, it's all gone. To have joy in the middle of a dark world takes the Holy Spirit. Peace. I'm showing my age, but I remember Joe Friday. Some of you remember Joe Friday? Dragnet. The police are there and it would show the side of the door to protect and serve. When you see a cop today, is your immediate thought, oh, they're there to serve me? I remember just the uniforms. The uniforms were these blue, crisp, nice. They don't want blue uniforms anymore. They want black uniforms, paramilitary. Why? There's no peace. And we need to respect the police officers. They're in a bad place. They're getting killed in record numbers as well these last 5 years. They have a hard job. But that very job is making them harder and harder. And that hardness comes out in how they treat people. I was talking to somebody the other day that they got pulled over by a cop and the cop was yelling at them. I thought, man, I remember the days that I was terrified of being pulled over by a cop because my one foot is heavier than the other foot for some reason. Must be a birth defect or something. Oh, you'd look back and you'd see those. I was sitting in a restaurant the other day and I saw this car going up. It was a four-lane road out in front of it. And I saw the car in the passing lane zoom by. And I saw this cop car zoom behind him. And then his lights went on. And you could just see the car just immediately slowed down and was pulling over and going, oh, I knew exactly what, and the cop went by him. Just wanted to go, and I said, man, there's somebody that just had a happy day. But I remember when as scared as I was of getting that horrid ticket, and boy, they are just miserable. Police officers never yelled at you. They walk up, sir, can I see your license, registration, insurance marker? Do you understand why I pulled you over? Never forget just the last ticket I almost got. I was up at Clarksboro at the red light there, and I was late for work, and I was backed all the way up, and I could see the left-hand turn lane there, and there was like six cars blocking. An exaggeration, probably 12 cars blocking me. And there was nothing coming. And I whipped around those 12 cars and went right up the other lane and pulled into that. And I'm sitting there and I see the cop looking, sitting in the parking lot right by the red light, staring at me like, are you insane? And he pulled out behind me and I pulled over and he got out. Very professional. Praise God. He walked up and he said, "Do you know what you did?" And I said, "Oh, yeah." He goes, and he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Down here to the Shady Lane complex." And he said, "Well, why are you there?" And I said, "Oh, I work for the county." And he said, "All right. I better never see you do that again. Get out of here." All my coworkers are driving by, seeing me. Yeah, isn't that when we're broken, that's when we shine. You know, the humility to admit what you did goes a long way with people. I want you to notice something. Turn back with me to Galatians 5:20. We'll start at 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Sexual sins. Three different ways of saying sexual sins. Idolatry and witchcraft. Spiritual sins. And then notice this list. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. What do they all have in common? They all flow out of a spirit of hatred. Did you read them? Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, and factions. Is there any one of those that doesn't dominate our society today? It's not in our schools, it's someplace else, fits of rage. Dissensions, just turn on the political channels and listen to our politicians. Jealousy, discord, look on our college campuses or in our business places. Factions? Good Lord. You see, that's the overflow of a darkened heart. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's everything we need. We need don't need gun control. We need self-control. Here's the second treasure. First treasure is the Holy Spirit. The second treasure is the gospel. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 4:10. 2 Corinthians 4:10. Remember he said, verse 7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that its all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." That was verse 7. Let's go down to verse 10. "We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in us." Look at verse 13. "For it is written, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith we also believe, and therefore we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory." We have the only thing that will save. Washington can pass laws till they're blue in the face. It won't change the human heart. They can arm teachers. They can arm security guards. They can arm police officers. They can put tanks out in front of every school. That won't stop the hatred and bullying and violence. Only the gospel can. Only the gospel can. Because only the gospel can take a wicked, terrible, miserable, hate-filled, lust-filled, envious, greedy heart like mine and change it. I remember being up in Philadelphia at a large church a while ago as they were having a training session for the last, I think it was the last, maybe the one before it, Greg Laurie Crusade, whatever they call them, Harvest Festival. And I remember the speaker, it may have been Greg himself, saying, how many of you have friends that will just absolutely never believe no matter what you say? And all across the 2,000 plus people that were there, almost every hand went up. He said, yeah, I hear that. Oh, yeah. So let me ask you just one more question. How many of you were a person that people said they will never, ever, ever? And almost every hand in the place went up. If the gospel reached me, if the gospel reached you, there's hope for anyone, isn't there? But we have the treasure. And reminding you of a little story in the Bible. Jesus was sitting at a meal, and the religious professor, the religious leader, was there regaling him with religious trivia, no doubt. And a woman, who at best her place was in the kitchen, in that society, came through the door and knelt at Jesus' feet and took a bottle of rare perfume and broke it. Are we willing to be broken like that jar of perfume so that the treasure inside can be poured out into a dark and hurting world? We have a great opportunity, folks. And that opportunity is this: we can be stars. And the darker the night gets, the more we shine. Let's bow together. Oh God, may our lives be the light of the world. In a world that is so dark that a person would want their claim to fame, would want it surrendered, happy, that they would want their claim to fame be that they had murdered multiple people. Believe that somehow they're the hero of the story because everyone knows their name. Oh God, in that kind of darkness, may we be stars in the night. May we be the city set on the hill. May we be the light of the world. a lamp that isn't hidden, glowing for all the world to see. Lord, give us the courage to be broken that the treasure within might shine forth. In Jesus' name, amen.